This is March 25th, questions and answers.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make this essential truth of our being real for us. We want to realize that we are one with this thing that we're always talking about, this thing called God, this thing called the universe. We want to know that in our consciousness, in every fiber of our being. We want to realize that we are one with the thing itself. So with that said, we're going to have questions and answers. But before questions and answers, I wanted to say something. On the way here, I passed a church. And, of course, they're having an Easter egg hunt, which I think is absolutely marvelous for the children. But you do realize that an Easter egg and the Easter egg is completely pagan. It has nothing to do with Christianity whatsoever. Of course, Easter was a pagan holiday also. And it had a different name, and the church took it and called it Easter so that they could convert pagans. And that's how we get most of our holidays in the Christian church, our leftovers from pagan holidays and so forth. That's how they converted people. And there's nothing wrong with that. I just think it's nice to know those things, and it's nice to know that the Easter egg, you know, is the idea of rebirth and so forth. And that's a wonderful idea and so forth, but it has nothing to do with Christianity whatsoever. So, with that said, I will open it to questions and answers. And remember, all month we were talking about thoughts. And what we want to realize about thoughts are all there is. There is nothing else out there. If you think a situation, a person, an event, or anything else is causing anything, it is not causing one damn thing, people. It's your thinking about it that's causing everything. It's always going to be thoughts. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? And we have a wonderful saying in this teaching is, what you think about, you bring about. Because your thoughts go someplace, they do something, they have power. And if you want to draw something to you, you think clearly about it, and you think the right and correct thoughts about it, and you can draw it to you. But the problem that we have is we don't think the right thoughts. The other problem that we have is we are so convinced that we are our mind, and we are so convinced that the world is right with what it's telling us, that we get confused. First of all, you must remember that you are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use, and you must come to a realization of how to use it. Thoughts are always going to be running through your mind, but you must pick and choose the ones that you want. And you must also implant in your thinking the thought that you want to think. And we implant things in our thinking by doing affirmations implant. That's how we move forward, so that we are not thinking that same old thought all the time. And, of course, I tell you all the time that the world is very convincing, and what's going on out there in the world seems to be very important. It is not important. What is important is what you are thinking. What you are thinking. The rest of it is just a movie, people, that you are watching. Now, do you want to participate in that movie, or do you just want to watch it? The idea to step back and become a witness to your own thinking is that you are watching it. But what happens is, any situation that comes up, we throw ourselves into the middle, into the fray. We are pulled in by the world, and we think that all that is important. And it is not important. It is your thinking that is important. It's the thoughts that you are cultivating that is important to you. So, view the world, view everything else, view every situation, but remember, it's only a movie you're looking at. It's only a movie. All of life is only a movie. You are the one that's deciding what that movie is going to be. Is it going to be a tragedy? Is it going to be a comedy? You have to decide that. How are you going to run your life? Many people like the tragedy. And the mind, the human mind, apparently likes tragedy because that's all you see all the time and that's all that's on television and all. Cops and robbers and all the bad stuff. And we watch it and we call it entertainment. We watch people get killed and we say we're entertained. What does that sound like to you? It sounds like the gladiators in the Roman Forum, doesn't it? Hasn't changed much. It's just come down to TV now. Nothing wrong with that if you realize that it's not. If that's the way you want to entertain yourself that way. But it's not a good way to cultivate something good in your mind, in your thinking. Because you will start to think that that's what the world is all about. Cops and robbers and killing and deceitful things and all this, that, and the other thing that's going on. 30-some years ago, when Dallas first came on, I watched it eagerly. Now that it's on, I cannot stand it because it's just one tragedy thing after the other. It's just one horrible thing. Who wants to sit there and watch that and be entertained by those mean-spirited people? Mean-spirited people. So stay away from mean-spirited people. Stay with people that uplift you. Uplift you with their thoughts. You see, you can't stay around mean-spirited people and not get influenced by them unless you are very, very diligent in your thinking. But who wants to be around those people? I don't want to be around mean-spirited people. Anyone can be mean. I was the meanest person on the face of the earth at one time, and I thought it was fun, and I enjoyed that. I don't want to be mean anymore. I don't want to be mean. I want to be kind. I want to be benevolent. I want to be compassionate. Those are the things I'm striving for. And when you strive for those things, you see yourself and you see other people differently. You see them differently. So, with that, does anyone have a question? Otherwise, you know, I just ramble. Tony, now you must have a question. You said you listened and took notes. All right.
But I don't have any questions. I just wrote out the affirmations.
Oh.
I have a question, and it has to do with Easter. And it has to do with how do they connect the resurrection of Christ and Easter and all of that.
Well, the reason that whole thing is, but like the egg, inside of the egg, that would be the tomb. And the little chick inside of the tomb is going to be born. It's going to pick its way out of the tomb the same way that Christ came out of the tomb. So that's why we use the egg as a symbol for that. Pagans use that all the time. Why do we have Easter in the springtime? Because everything is coming into a new birth, a new life. That things are budding, things are new again. And that's the whole idea. All things are made new with the renewal of your mind, with the renewal of your thinking. And that's how they tied that all together. And back then it made sense to people. It doesn't make as much sense anymore as it used to 1,000 years ago, you know. Easter's not the big deal that it used to be. Churches are not filled. They used to be filled with Easter. 2 times of the year that you knew a church was going to be filled was Easter and Christmas.
The Easter bonnets.
Yes, the Easter bonnets and Easter bunnies and all that kind of stuff came out. I don't know where the bunny came from because it laid eggs, you know. The Cadbury egg, I think the bunny laid. Bunny? Yeah. It's just, you have to just look at that, and it worked for a while. It just doesn't work. At least it doesn't work for me. But I don't poo-poo it or anything, if you want to look at that.
Are they saying that there were people visually observing the resurrection?
Well, one person, remember, went to the tomb and the tomb was empty.
But no one actually saw.
No one actually saw that, no. And also the ascension, you know, when, you know, they say that Jesus never died and rotted. He ascended into heaven. Mary also ascended into heaven afterwards. Now you can believe that, or you don't have to believe that. My main thing always is if Jesus is going to come back, don't you think he'd come back after 2,000 years? What's taken so long? So, but it's the resurrection is done inside of you. It's done inside of your thinking. What are you resurrecting for yourself? Are you resurrecting a new life? Are you resurrecting a new attitude about yourself? That is what you want to resurrect. And that is what Christianity is about. The renewal of your thinking, the renewal of your mind. And that is the resurrection that goes on. And that's what we should be celebrating during this period, which is called Holy Week. And then the commencement of Holy Week, of course, is Easter itself.
Yes, sir. Ernest Holmes says that, I'm reading the Essential Emerson, and he says that birth and death is a continuation, that there's never any death.
Right.
There's always a continuation of life.
Yes, always, because what people get confused is they think it's birth and death. You see, life has no opposite. Life always is. Life always is. Death is not the opposite of life. And we think it's the opposite. Most people think when they're dead, oh well, nothing happens. But it's always world without end, and it's always the life moving forward because you have a consciousness. You're sending out energy. When you were in school, did you not learn that energy can neither be created nor destroyed? It always is. And are you not energy? Therefore, you were always a thought in the mind of God. You always have existed in the mind of God. You will always exist in the mind of God. Death is not the opposite of life. Life has no opposite whatsoever. It continues. What dies is the body. And it's good that this body dies, because this body, after a while, can no longer keep going. So death is a wonderful benefit. You know, what if you didn't die when you were all crinkled up all the time? Be thankful, you know. Be thankful. It's a wonderful thing, and it's a wonderful process in life.
When we die, then we renew? Like, do we always renew in another body? Or?
Well, you're talking about reincarnation. I have no idea about reincarnation. That could be possible that we reincarnate. We are consciousness. We have to go someplace. We have to do something. We incarnated on this planet, so why wouldn't we incarnate someplace else? You see? Well, I had a mentor who said to me, why would you want to come back and go through tonsillitis and all that stuff? You should learn something from this experience to move on to the next plane instead of repeating the same thing. Do you want to repeat the teenage years? Do you want to repeat acne and all that stuff? I don't think so. Now. But think of life, it continues. It continues. And that's the message that Christianity is always trying to get through, that it's life without end, that you're going to continue. Not in this body. Not in this body. Yes. So all those people who have passed on or passed over, their consciousness is still there. Their energy is still there. It's just their body of them.
But Christianity teaches that at the end you go one or two places.
Yes, well, they teach that, and where they ever got that, remember we read there's no such thing as a place called heaven in the Bible. It's never mentioned in the Bible. Either is hell. We never had the concept of hell till Dante's Inferno. And then we started to think about hell. I never think about hell. I have no intentions of going there. You can go there if you want, because it's consciousness. You're making your own reality. To have heaven and hell would be what?
Right here on earth.
What did you say? It would be separation, and we teach unity.
What?
It would be separation, and we teach unity, and it would be duality, and we do not teach duality. We teach oneness. Oneness. There, you're learning, Tony. Now, what else do you have in that little bag? You were going to pull out a question. Oh.
So I have a question about action or actions in mm-hmm. terms of metaphysics.
Right.
Like we talk a lot about thoughts creating feelings,
right.
But what about the action component? How that works in?
You must always take an action step. That's why we have a saying in metaphysics: treat and move your feet. You cannot sit still. You must do something. Once you make an affirmation, once you do a treatment, then you must move towards it. I have said this before. Once you make a treatment or a prayer, then you must learn to live at the level of that treatment. That is the action step that you're taking. Many people think that they can sit down and go, and millions of dollars are going to fall out of the sky into their lap. Not going to happen. You can sit there to eternity going, and I like the ohm, by the way. It does something. It's a resonant. It does wonderful things to your body. But it is not going to drop anything into your lap. So it's always treat and move your feet. So when you do an affirmation, remember, then you must do something about that. You cannot say, well, what did I say to you? I told you this one before. I made an affirmation years ago. I am a reader. Now, I could sit here, I could have sat from that day to this day saying I'm a reader. But if I didn't pick up a book, go out and buy a book and start to read, I would not be a reader. The action step is then back up what you're saying. You have to back up what you're saying. And that's how you do that. Yes?
Okay, so if you say to the affirmation, money is always free and freely circulating in my life,
yes.
What would the action be?
To get money and make it start to circulate in your life.
How?
How
would you take that action?
How would I take that action? Well, I would buy something for somebody. I would give somebody something. You see, and I would put the money into circulation so that it would come back to me. When I'm down and out and feel that I don't have a prosperity consciousness and so forth, I go out and buy something for people. I buy tickets to the theater. I give tickets away. I do all kinds of things so that I keep that circulating. You always have the money to buy something. It doesn't have to be. Remember in the Bible, the lady that gave the penny It was all that she had. She gave all she had, and that's all we ask is you give what you have.
Can it be something you have, or do you have to go and buy something?
You just gave me this, and this is my thing. You're always thinking of cash and so forth. Remember, it's prosperity and abundance, including money. Including money. So you keep that.
But I bought that years ago and I had money.
But that doesn't make any difference. I don't care when you.
Okay.
There's no such thing as time in the mind of God.
So it would be something you have.
Let me try. Let me see if we can try to make this teaching simple, please. All this week, my cousin's in town. My cousin has money. And she takes me here, there, and everywhere. We've been to every major hotel in the city having dinners and lunches and so forth. She pays for all of that. That's money, her money in action. She's helping me. Now, today we were at the Beverly.
Polo Lounge.
Yeah, at the Polo Lounge at the Beverly Hills Hotel. I paid for the parking. Now, that's putting money in circulation, right? Tonight, Andy bought me dinner. It came right back to me. It came right back to me. And this is what you have to know about. It sounds funny. It sounds simple. But that's the way it does. It just keeps circulating. And she was willing. My cousin said, oh, let me pay the parking. I said, are you out of your mind? Let me do something. I mean, what it was $8 parking when I just had, you know, a $50 meal. But you don't add that stuff up. You just, you know, it just, you have to know it's always coming back to you. Does that help you in any which way, shape, or form?
Yeah. Good. Years ago when I had money, I would constantly take people out. Vacations.
Yeah.
Like 8 people.
Yeah.
Eat everything.
Yeah. Well, but you're trying to live on your laurels. You're trying to live on your laurels.
No, I'm just explaining.
Yeah.
It didn't come back at that time.
Yeah. Well, it did. You just didn't see it at the time. And if you're waiting for it to come back now, it's not going to, I can assure you.
No, no.
How do I know it's not going to come back? How do I know it's not going to come back? The past is the past. It's over. You have to start every moment. That's gone.
Right. No, I'm not saying then and now. I'm just saying at the time when I did it.
Yes.
It didn't come back.
Didn't your uncle
drink.
Your uncle give you a great deal of money? Didn't that woman that was living with you
not
give you
lot.
Money?
No,
didn't
she
you
did
give,
not give me a great deal
but,
of
money? But you got money back. Didn't you get inheritances and so forth? Then you have to count that. It doesn't say it's going to be tit for tat. You see, my cousin spent maybe $50 on me and I spent $8 on the car. It's never tit for tat, young lady.
Right.
But I know that money's always freely circulating in my life and I always have a divine surplus.
So you're saying focus on the abundance and don't focus on the lack.
Yes. And the past. I know many people say, I used to have money. And they dwell on that, I used to have money. Do I want to hear that? No. When I was in the South, you'd sit down to any in the South, and those people would always say, my parents had money. My parents had money. I said, do you? I don't care what your parents had. Do you have money? Well, no. I said, then get your own money. Who what? You know. Give a penny away. Give these away. It's going to
you
come.
You know what I do at my birthday? I give people gifts on my birthday.
Well, good. Keep doing those things. It'll happen. Never, never, never give up. And it's fun. You have to make this process, you have to make this whole teaching fun for yourself and see It's not mystical. It's not magical. There's a law out there that's helping you succeed, and that's the law of attraction. What you put into the law, you're going to get back from the law, but it's done with your thinking. And you still have a lack and limitation consciousness. And you must change that to prosperity and abundance. And until you do that, nothing is going to come your way. You find it difficult? Yes. Most difficult thing in the world, but you have to keep working on it. It's easy to change your mind. It's hard to keep your mind changed. But because the mind likes to take the road of least resistance, it will always bring you back. So you must say, no, I'm not going there. And when you must recognize that and say, that is no longer me, that is no longer who I am, you see? The other thing, and this may apply also with you, Sue, you have to say at this moment, I have no money. The next moment could change. The next moment could change. At this moment, I'm not feeling well. But the next moment, I could be in perfect health again. At this moment. I have a lady that just started a new job, and she said, I don't know if I can do this job. I said, at this moment. At this moment, you don't know. Tomorrow, you may know everything about the job. You see, but you keep saying, I don't get this job, I don't do this, I don't do that. It's at my moment. But you're making the moment your whole reality. It's a moment. That help you? Yes.
Okay. I've heard you say that if you treat for something,
yes,
just treat it once and don't keep treating it, or something like that.
Well, if you keep treating and treating, you're saying to the universe, first of all, you're saying the universe is stupid and didn't hear you. You're saying. This thing called God or this thing called the universe is very intelligent. You only have to treat once, but then you have to keep that in your mind. But you allow negations to come in, and that eats it up. So as soon as it's eaten up, you have to start over again. So it sticks, you're saying.
You said earlier, live at the level of...
You have to live at the level of your demonstration always. You can't wait for the demonstration. When you make an affirmation or you do a treatment, then you must live at that level. I am filled with health. I have money. I have whatever you're doing. Then you must start to live there. You see? But most people make that, and then they're waiting for that to happen. You see? Next month, the topic is, if it's to be, it's up to me.
It's going out to.
But you have to do it yourself. You know, if you take a step forward, God will take a step towards you.
But also, I find too that once I give up, like I surrender.
Yes.
That, like with the whole car thing.
Yes.
I just finally, once I just got fed up, just stopped asking.
Well, absolutely. Yes. Because if you keep doing that and keep asking and keep doing that, you're pushing it away from you. And as soon as you relax, it'll come to you. You see? Yeah. You have to relax. You know, that's that whole idea of let go and let God. No one wants to let go. No one wants to surrender. You must let go. You must surrender, let go, let God. And if you're treating and treating and treating, getting nowhere, give it up and say to yourself, I don't know what I'm doing, but I know you know how to do this, so you do it for me.
I've recently become reacquainted with a couple of technique, for lack of a better term, of how to deal with these new old relationships and not fall into the same thought patterns that I had a lifetime ago.
Right. Well, let's take one step at a time here with parents. The reason why you always fall back with parents and so forth is because they have cast you in a role. And as soon as you're cast in that role, you must play that role. So when you're in front of them, you start to play the old role again. And that's how they know everything about you. So you must say to yourself, I'm casting myself differently. I'm not playing that role anymore. With your friends and so forth, you have to forget those incidents. You have to forgive those people. And you have to know that they have changed and that you have changed. And what you're thinking about them, all the old stuff, let it go. They are no longer that person, the way you are no longer that person. So you have to start over and reestablish the relationship on a different footing, you see. Get rid of all that old garbage and start over again.
Well, I see the problem with the one friend is that we never addressed the separation which went on. So our old habits.
All right. So why don't you address that with him or her?
Well, that's something that needs to happen.
Yes, it needs to happen. You have to address these things. I'm not going to do this anymore. I have this difficulty with my brother. I tell him, Jack, you have no idea who I am. I haven't been around you since I was 18. I left home when I was 18. He still remembers me as an idiotic 18-year-old. And I said, I am not this idiotic 18-year-old Jack anymore. You are, but I'm not. And I don't say that. That's not a good one. But you can see, because they don't. They have no idea. They have no idea what you've gone through. You have no idea what they've gone through with the intervening years. Surely you have learned more. And if you're in this teaching, you learn more about your own thinking and so forth than they have. So sometimes it becomes a little bit more difficult, you're saying, because you happen to think differently now. At least I hope you're thinking differently.
Well, I think the casting analogy is a good one.
Yes.
But what I see happening with one of the previous relationships is that I fall back into that casting.
Yes, you do.
Because it's easy.
Because the mind takes the road of least resistance, and once you're cast in something, you want to keep repeating because that's more comfortable for you and it's more comfortable for them. And remember, we're always walking into thought atmospheres. So their thought atmosphere around you and around them is what they knew 12 years ago. So that thought atmosphere is still going on. So before you meet those people, say to yourself, I'm putting a shield in front of me, and they cannot get to me. Any of their thoughts coming out to me hits that shield and falls to the ground.
Well, I like that thought atmosphere picture.
Yes.
And perhaps that's one of the things that I have problems with. Thinking about being an independent thinker.
Yes.
And then, of course, we're dealing with other human beings at the same time. So we have those, like, subsets of things that we're walking through all these atmospheres.
So you have
multiple atmospheres that affect the way that we think.
This is when you become a witness to what's going on around you and what's going on in your own thinking. And you realize it's so many thoughts going on, then what thoughts do I want to change, you see? But when you're in those thought atmospheres and so forth, they become very real, and they suck you in. Before you know it, you're right back playing the same role you used to play. So you have to sit them down, sit the one down and say, here's what happened, here's how I feel, and I'm feeling differently now, and whatever. And let's start off on a different wavelength here so that we're feeling better about ourselves. Does that help you at all?
It does. It gives me some good imagery.
Yeah. Imagery is everything, people. You learn everything through imagery. You see a cross. You see Christ on the cross. You see eggs. You see this. You see that. That's all imagery. And that's how it gets embedded into your mind. So you have to be diligent of what you're looking at also. First propaganda in the world was with the church. The church was nothing but propaganda. Those people did not read, they did not write. They painted beautiful pictures in churches and so forth. Imagery. Imagery constantly. And that they absorbed that. We learn more from imagery than anything else. So you have to see. People see the cross. When you see a cross, what do you immediately think? I happen to think torture device, but that's me. But most people see religion. They see Jesus suffering. They see all that kind of stuff. You see? Imagery. Everything you look at is imagery. So change the imagery that you're doing. Visualize. I tell you different things all the time. Don't I tell you how to visualize and see things? And I bring in imagery, but a different set of imaging than the world is teaching. See? Than the world is teaching you. You have to see that. What is the church? The other imagery, you always see this man, Christ, or Jesus, that when you're in a church. What does he have? He's a shepherd with a shepherd's hook. Now, doesn't anyone's mind think, what's going on here? Why do we use sheep? Because they're the dumbest animals in the world. And that's why they call his flock sheep. But what is wrong with that imagery? Does anyone understand what's wrong with that imagery? He was a carpenter, for Christ's sake. He wasn't a shepherd. Did that ever dawn on you before? No. But you see him always with sheep around him and the sheep thing, and then he was a shepherd and he's shepherding all this. He wasn't a shepherd, he was a carpenter. And what did carpenters build in that day and age?
Yokes.
Pardon?
Yokes.
Yokes?
No, not egg yolks.
A yoke.
Yeah,
well, they also built crosses. Who do you think built the crosses that people hung on? Carpenters. So Jesus built, and his father, Joseph, built a lot of crosses. I mean, they were crucifying people up one side and down the other. They had to get those crosses somewhere.
But wasn't that, like they tried to portray the followers as, the people as sheep?
Yes.
And being followed, they were following the shepherd.
They were following the shepherd. But they use sheep because sheep follow. You see. So you must always ask, who's leading? Who is leading here? Because if one sheep goes over the cliff, they will just all go over the cliff. They're that dumb, they follow. And that's why a shepherd has the big hook, the staff, and that's why the Pope today carries one. Because they can hook the sheep and keep it from falling down the ravine whatsoever. So it's all imagery. But you have to see, what is this imagery telling me? And is this imagery that I'm seeing real? What is this imagery portraying? You see? What is portraying? The church is very convoluted and very confused because one moment he's a carpenter and the next moment he's a shepherd. You know, you have to think of those things. We had him in my church. We had him as a shepherd, and he was knocking on the door. You see? And that was supposed to be the door to your heart. But the door opened the wrong way, they said. Whoever painted the picture, the door was opening out, and the door should open in. Who knows? Go ahead.
Along with the idea of living at the level of your manifestation, I feel like if I could up my gratitude quotient, I would bring a lot more in.
Yes, you would.
And how do I do that? How do I become more grateful?
Come on, you do it. Are you grateful that you've just had 3 weekends of a play?
Yes.
And you sit down and say, oh, I'm so grateful for this, or do you say, oh, well, that's over, and I only had 3 weeks, and I should have had 6?
No, but I don't juice it as much as I think I could.
Well, see, you have to juice it. You're the one who has to do that. That's why next month we're doing, if it's to be, it's up to me. You're waiting for somebody else to juice you up.
I'll see you next Monday.
I've been something that's helped me with gratitude, and I've been emailing, texting 5 things that I'm grateful for every day. Someone, and it's really helped.
Well, that does help. Remember, I sit every morning in gratitude in a chair in my living room, which looks over all the stuff through my dining room into my plinth room, and I just give absolute gratitude that I have all those things. Okay. And I also talk to the plants too and tell them I just love them, and they seem to keep going. That one tree I've had 20-some years already. It just keeps, oh, you can't. That'll die. Well, it hasn't died, and I have no intentions of it dying. It keeps renewing itself. But you have to do that yourself. You have to come up with gratitude. It's the same with happiness or joy or anything else. It's not going to drop into your lap. It's done with what? It's done with your thoughts. It's done with your thoughts. And then get those thoughts working to where you feel them going through your body, so that every cell in your body becomes grateful, so that you feel a tingling, that you feel something going on inside of you. That you feel something going on. Scott, don't you have a question?
Not really. I mean, but my thing is, how do you stay focused? I find myself focused, like, and right now I'm just, everything's starting to get cloudy. I'm like, you know.
Pull yourself back. I told you the story about Raymond Charles Barker. Raymond Charles Barker, who had the big church at Alice Tooley Hall in Lincoln Center in New York, and he wrote many books. One of the books that he wrote was The Power of Decision. And well, anyway, when he was giving a talk, he would start to ramble and his focus would go off, and he would just say, coming back now. And you have to bring it back. You have to come back. The same way you have to keep your mind in your body. When you're not focused, your mind is no longer in your body. You've allowed your mind to go roaming somewhere. You do that, Jerry? Now, how do you get back? Sit down in a chair and grab the arms of the chair. I'm back. You have to, if you have to hold onto the table, here I am. I'm here. My mind is back. You see people come to talks and so forth, and they're worried. Oh, did I turn the stove off at home? But now you're no longer here. You're at home with the stove. focus. Last week, didn't we talk about the single eye? That's the most important thing in the world is focus. I also talked about the man, Jack Dorsey, who invented Twitter. And what was his thing? Focus. Keep focused on what you want. Then, when you know that you're off, bring yourself back. You can do that. You say, oh my God, my mind is over. Coming back. Bring it back in. Because your mind can float anywhere. My mind can go, can circle the world. But you have to say, oh, that trip's over. Let's get back here. Let's bring it back inside of your body. This works for everything that you do. If you're lifting weights, if you keep your mind in your body, the weight training will be much more efficient because you're concentrating. You're focused on that muscle. Now, that muscle is doing something, but if you're just lifting weights and you're thinking, oh, what am I going to have for dinner? Did I take the garbage out? Is that person going to call me? Not happening. How many people are going to go to the gym and they say, I lift and I do this and I do that, and nothing ever happened? Because they're not at the gym. Their body's at the gym, but they're not. You must keep your mind in your body. Keep your mind in your body. Does anyone know the tenet of Zen? You must do one thing at a time. That's all Zen is doing one thing at a time. One thing at a time. You must become aware of the moment. Of the moment. One thing at a time. It's all done with our thinking, people. It's all done with thoughts. It's all done with this thing that we call our mind. And we know now that we can train our mind. That our mind is ours to use. And we must learn how to use the mind efficiently and correctly. And we're not taught that. We are not taught that. I was diagnosed, you know, with ADD and all those things. Now I can be there when I want to. But with focus, I can bring my mind back. I don't have to take Ritalin. I don't have to take drugs. I can bring myself back. Other people like to take drugs. You know, let them. You know, you are not your diagnosis. So I have this going on. Now, how do I correct it? I correct it with my thinking. I correct it with my thinking. I bring my mind back to my body. I try to do one thing at a time. That's how you do it. It works. Focus, 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 focus. And what's the other thing in life? Practice, practice, practice. It's always you'll be practicing when you're on your deathbed. You have to keep practicing. It's always, you know, but have fun with it. You're growing. Don't you think you've grown? And you've grown. And you must have grown somewhere. New ideas came into your mind and so forth. You've had aha experiences. I've seen them flash across your face. So you're growing. But everyone wants to have the whole enchilada all at once. You must practice. It'll come to you. You do. You must practice.
I find that when I have ego, that my trust element goes down.
Absolutely.
And I become suspicious.
Yes.
And then I miss all the gifts that are there because I'm suspicious of why they're there. And I don't take advantage of them because my ego is inflated. So there's that dance.
There's always going to be that dance, but you must take control of your ego. You must realize that the ego is only about 1% of what you are, but you're making it 99% of what you are. When your ego pops its little head up, you must realize that's only one little portion of myself. And then you must look at and see what it's doing and say, oh, look what it's doing to me. It's causing me to have a trust issue here. I don't want this to be, you're saying. So then you must take the other part of your mind and you must correct that and say, I am trustworthy. And tell that little ego to go back to the nothingness from whence it came. It'll pop its head up because it wants to control you. It wants you to think that it's powerful, and it is not powerful. All right, what was the ego? What was the ego in the Bible? Goliath. Goliath was the ego. Now what little person got rid of Goliath? David, with a slingshot and little pebble. Gone ego. The rest of them, as soon as they saw Goliath and they see, we see our ego, we get frightened. We say, oh my God, there's the ego. Oh. The ego is Goliath. You must learn to read the Bible metaphysically, people.
Does ego have any purpose?
Well, apparently, but I haven't been able to figure it out. It came in, I think, through race mind and so forth. It popped itself up. But now it's fun. My ego, I know exactly what my ego is doing. I say, oh, no, don't pull that again. We're not going down that road. I've been down that road. Stop it right here and right now. You know? This is what I want. I don't want what you want. Here's what I want. Here's the way I want to think. I want to see things as trustworthy. I want to see things as this. This cousin was in town, says, you don't lock your door. I said, no, I don't lock my door, but now that you're here, I'll have to. No, because her ego says we have to lock the door. I don't want her ego in there. You see? Your ego will tell you that people are horrible, that this is happening, that that's happening, this. When it does that, I say, no, that is not right. That is not right. I am learning to think on a higher plane. I am learning to think God thoughts after it. I am learning to see things differently. I do not want to sink back into the world. And you can feel yourself sinking into that quagmire that the world has set up for you. All those traps and all that stuff. Learn to think past that. Learn to raise your consciousness up to a different level and see things differently. See things differently. I say to myself this, that's a human problem. I don't handle human problems. I'm spiritual. And I move up to a spiritual level. And I see the whole thing differently then. I see the whole thing differently. You know? Don't let yourself be pulled down by all this human stuff that's going on around here. And what do I mean by all the human stuff? Watch that program Dallas. Now that's all ego, and that's all race mind, and that's all mean-spirited, that's all jealousy and hatred, and every bad quality that you can think of is in that program. Now do you want that in your life? No. So you look at it and you say, ah, that's an earthly human problem. And I am in this world. I am not of this world. and I know how to move my consciousness and my thinking higher so that I look down. You love visuals. I'm going to give you a visual. If you're on the streets of New York and you're down there and all that mass of humanity with the pickpockets, the rapists, the murderers, and all that kind of stuff. You look at New York and say, oh, who would want to live there? It has the highest rate of whatever. Right? Now you're in the world. You get on an elevator and you go up the Empire State Building. Now you look out and you say, isn't this the most beautiful city in the world? Look at how beautiful it is. You have to raise up. You have to get out of that and raise up. How many from the top? How about if you go to Griffith Observatory and look out over the city? Is it not beautiful? You have to see things on a higher plane, a higher level. Does that help you visualize anything? Yeah. You have to do that for yourself. It's imagery. It's using your mind. If your mind can't do it one way, think of another way to correct it. You don't have to use my examples. Use your own. Start to think things through a different way. Otherwise, you'll fall right into that and you'll be the sheep following everybody else. You see? Following everybody else. Now, in closing, I'll tell you my favorite. If you're not the lead dog on a sled, on a dog sled thing, your view never changes. You're always looking up the rear end of the other dog. That's all you see. So you have to say to yourself, I'm the lead dog here. And I'm seeing in front of me. I'm seeing how wonderful everything is. I always like that one. Think of it. I have time for one more question, people. No? No? Tony, now that you got your car, are you grateful?
Yeah.
All right. See? Now, since you got your car and you're grateful, has anything else wonderful happened to you? All right. So things are good for you. Yeah.
And the money will come.
Yes. You must remember that money is always a side effect of your thinking, of your consciousness. You must change your consciousness. And the money will come to you. The money will come to you. Okay? So, think of all those things. Hold yourself in the highest of esteem. Learn to use your mind correctly. Do not allow your mind to use you. It will save you a great deal of grief in life. And a lot of time away from the couch. I mean the therapist's couch. When you learn to do it yourself. So, it's always a do-it-yourself project. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And therein's the lesson. Thank you.